y'all.
We're back and wearing the same color nail polish.
Oh my God, we are. Wait, is this the Orly?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was sick and fucking tired of seeing all these cute girls wearing it on Instagram. So I hit them up and I was like, can you please send this to me just because I want it?
I randomly got it in the mail. It's like a neon set.
Yeah.
And then I was like, how do you know where I live? Yeah. But thank you.
Orly gives you like full bathtubs of polish.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. I like the rubberized handle for my klutzy ass hands.
No, it's really good.
Yeah. This is not a nail polish podcast, but
it is now. Nail polish you later.
Twist.
We're back.
It is a scorcher today.
Oh my God.
It's hot, man.
You know what though? I'm fine with it. People are like,
you love the heat. And yes, you're from the Midwest.
I'm from the Midwest. Like we get, I mean, when you have 8 months of frigid winter, you have to, you know, enjoy the hotness.
Wait, but it also gets very, very hot in the Midwest, right?
It also gets deeply hot. But yeah. Like, it's like you have 8 months of winter, one month of insufferable heat, and maybe like 2 months of temperate weather. I don't know how many months I added up to, but, you know, to say it's a whole year. And so you spend so much time just being uncomfortable.
Mm.
The East Coast is so much more temperate just throughout the year that it's like you don't have to like suck all the juice out of one hot day. But it's that'll never leave me. It's instinctual.
Yeah. No, summer in New York City is like a whole different beast because it's just, it's smelly, not in a good way. It's the heat and the humidity gets trapped by all the buildings and you just feel, you don't feel good.
But it's summer. You know what I mean?
No, I do love summer.
We wait for all year.
Yeah. Now, like my sense, I don't know why my sense of time is still warped where the sun will set at like 8:30 now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, it's 5 o'clock. Then I'm like, no, it's not. Stable.
Right. I fully had a panic attack in the shower today because I was like, it is the 6th of June.
Fuck,
how
dude.
In the hell did that happen?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? No, I fully thought we were still mid-May.
You're right. I totally thought that too.
How did this happen?
It's like the audio and the visual in my brain is not in sync.
No.
Not at all. I don't know. Everyone's going out and about now and I'm like, oh, here comes the FOMO again.
Yeah.
Now I gotta go outside. So I went outside yesterday to get an ice cream and then I was outside my house for maybe like 30 minutes and I was like, that's enough. That's enough outside for me today.
I spent all day in the sun yesterday.
I know. That would make me puke.
It was nice. I was at Hudson River Park. I drank 72 bottles of rosé and I was like, summer's here, baby.
I guess if you're by the water, it's nice. There's like a breeze. It's not as like sweltering. Yeah. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So I smell like, I hope these are out. I truly, because I'm not so sure.
Better check that embargo.
I know. Who's going to sue me after this episode? I am wearing the scent called Beau by the new brand called Lies Fragrances. L-I-I-S, pronounced Lies, I think.
Lies.
Lies. Beau, pronounced B-O.
So, wait, is it spelled
wait,
B?
Wait, pronounced B-O. Pronounced Beau. You know what the fuck I mean.
Is it B-E-A-U?
No, it's just B-O.
Oh, bold choice.
Yeah. Lies is a brand that we're all going to be hearing about very soon. And I wanted to sort of get in front of the hype because at first I was going to ignore it. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So Lies is a brand started by the people who did Vintner's Daughter, which is a...
Rich Lady Face Oil?
Yes. Is it an oil or a serum?
It's an oil. Both? They call it a serum because it's like got all these actives in it, but it's an oil.
I've never used it. I would if they wanted to send it to me.
I have.
Do you like
it's
it?
It's fine.
Okay.
It's just like a nice face oil.
Yeah. But you're right. It's a rich person face oil.
Yes.
And they now are doing fragrances. And I probably botched that backstory, but that's essentially what it is. It's at least is always going to be connected to Vintner's Daughter at launch. That's why everyone's going to cover it, etc. So I was either like,
I can see the headlines.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm either going to just ignore this because I don't care or call them in and get ahead of it and like, you know, prevent myself from getting jealous 2 months later than yelling at the brand to send them to me. I will say that the components themselves are really pretty.
They're very chic.
Very chic. They're just square bottles, white deco and a big cream or white colored
ball. What is that?
Ball. Sphere. On top. They're gorgeous. I think that I'm starting to see that a lot of brands are spending a little bit more time on packaging lately. I'm thinking
especially
like,
for fragrance, I feel.
I'm even thinking like Rare Beauty, things like that. Just a little more like artful or something.
Sculptural.
So I'm wearing Beau. a hidden bohemia inspired by a lush California coast that we grew up on.
Okay.
All right.
I wonder why they named it Bo.
Because I think it's short for bohemia.
Why didn't they put an H on the end?
That's true.
Like, Bo. You know, people might read it and be like, B-O. That's true.
So, the top contains LME.
What?
I don't know what that is.
Wait, what does that word look like?
E-L-E-M-I.
Never heard of that.
Tobacco leaves, redwood pine, incense, and wood.
Ooh. Oh,
wait, and vanilla beans. What is happening in this?
Whoa. Very woodsy. And it's then very vanilla.
Woodsy.
Surprise.
It's like a woody vanilla. And I know that as I say that, that can sound a little Bath and Body Works. And this is a Bath and Body Works household, so that's not shade. It's nice. It's not groundbreaking. It's not really blowing my mind, but it is, and I'm saying this in spite of myself, a very lovely fragrance.
It kind of sounds like a skin scent.
It's like, it's not. It is. I thought it was going to be that. I definitely did. I actually did not expect to like this, but I do. It's. I might not go running back to it, but it is a really beautiful. I mean, like, everyone loves woods. Everyone loves vanilla. We all have to have a conversation with ourselves about that and just come to terms with the fact that vanilla will always be the one. And this is. It's just like really, really pretty. I think this one is probably going to do very well. What I will say, what I like even more than the scent itself is the way that it wears.
Mm.
Because it's really soft, but it's very consistent. I would say, like, if you would take, like, think of the smelliest smell you've ever smelled. It's like a patchouli oil. Put that at, like, 100%, right?
Whoa.
This is probably, like, a 30%.
Okay.
It definitely wears lighter than most other things that I wear, but it doesn't fade away.
Mm.
And I think that in itself is sort of like an art. Just get it light, but get it right. I'm so embarrassing. But yeah, so I really like Bo. There are two other scents in the collection. I have them in my apartment. I have not worn through them yet. Yeah. So you heard it here first. Lisa's cute. So when you see it on the cut in a month, you can tell them I sent you.
L-I-I-S.
Yes.
Like Jacob Reese speech.
Yes.
Jacob Lee.
Is that the nude one?
No, it's next to the nude one.
Okay.
Fort Tilden. Whoa. Sorry.
I never want to go to the beach in New York. I'm sorry.
It
just seems like a lot of work. And I know a lot of our friends are very about the New York beach life. I cannot hop on.
You know what? I don't like to. Yeah. I'm definitely not going at 6 a.m.
No.
But I don't like taking the subway to the beach and especially not back from the beach.
Because it takes so fucking long.
It takes. To get to Rockaway, I think it takes like an hour.
Call me the fuck
like
out.
Like 45 minutes.
And then don't you have to take a bus after that?
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. I was like, I want to go to a beach. And they're like, people are like, there are beaches in New York, dumbass. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not what I meant.
It's, yeah. The beaches on Long Island are better, but you need a car to get there.
Like, I want the beach as a concept, not a location.
Yeah. Like, I grew up on Long Island, so I was surrounded by beaches. And there was like Long Beach, Jones Beach, Robert Moses. They're all really nice and they're like kind of private enough, or not private because they're for the public, but like they're spread out enough that you don't feel like you're in a crazy crowd. But the New York City beaches are just like everyone's mashed into this huge sand pit.
Yeah. When I was on the river yesterday, it was so cute. There was this straight couple, unfortunately, like 20 feet from us, and they had a speaker.
Yeah.
And they were like, the woman was in a bikini. And the man was in his like male garb, just like a hat, a t-shirt, shorts.
Man garb.
Yeah. And they were both very high. And she was just like laying there singing along to the music. And he was just like staring at her the entire time, with, like the of biggest course. Smile on his face, just like admiring her. I was like, this is very cute.
As summer, it should be.
Summer love.
Yeah. Yeah. I often see women in bikinis sunning themselves in the public parks.
Yeah.
And there's like something that always doesn't compute in my brain about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, it's a park, not a beach.
It's like the gays wearing Speedos in Central Park.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's like,
but it's not a beach.
We're like one step removed from this making sense. Like I'm down with the cause. Don't get me wrong. Happy Pride. But like, maybe not.
It's not even like, I'm not even just like, ugh, put some clothes on. I'm like, I don't care. I'm just like, it like breaks my brain because I'm just like, this is the incorrect context of a bikini.
We're landlocked.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know.
But yeah, going to the beach in New York, I do want to do it more, but I feel like every time it's just like more and more people there. It's the travel,
mm.
that stresses me out, because like after a day of sitting in the sun, like I'm fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
Like I may not make it home.
Right.
I will fall asleep on the subway and take it all the way to the end of the line.
Yeah, right. Surprise, you're in Harlem.
Exactly. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah. Also, I am that girl at the beach who's under the big umbrella.
Yeah.
I can't sit just soaking in the unadulterated sun.
Yeah.
Like, I will literally throw up or faint. So, and like, for some reason, all of my friends are like, no, it's cool. I just sun myself for hours and hours and hours. And I'm like, what? How do you live? If you get hot, just go in the water. I'm like, it's not the same.
Yeah, also, no, gross. No. Fine.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what, Sable, you should like try and date someone with a house in the Hamptons this summer. Or like, what's I recently learned the word hypergamy, which is the practice of dating for the purpose of like socioeconomic elevation, aka gold digging.
I don't know what you're implying, Sable.
Well, I mean, like, you know, the colloquial term, probably people call it as gold digging, but lots of other cultures, non-Western cultures, like still practice this. And then I'm like, why don't I do that? Why don't I choose people to date based on all of their assets?
I mean,
a lot of them aren't funny. That's why.
That's true.
You know, and then they don't think I'm funny, which is like truly the main offense.
Therein lies the problem.
Exactly. I'm like, you don't have to be funny, but you have to laugh at my jokes.
Right.
I can't just be pretty. Okay. I need to have it all.
You already do. Yeah. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Speaking of pretty, I was recently sent the brand new body collection of Killian's Good Girl Gone Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my stars, is it a lot?
Yeah.
Like, Killian scents, as we know, are already like a very heady experience, mm-hmm. and they're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, picture slathering it all over your body. In the shower with the body wash, after the shower with the body lotion, and then with the perfume. Oh, it also came with a hair mist as well.
Yep.
But I don't know if this is controversial, but I will just spray regular perfume into my hair.
Right.
I feel like it's the same. Like, right. I don't really know what the difference is. Anyway, I have the perfume as well. I am Good Girl Gone Bad-ed out.
Yeah.
And I think I was just like sitting watching TV after my shower, and I was like, okay, you can stop now with the scent. I was like, all right, I'm good.
Like, what have I done?
You can leave now. I have to go. Yeah, so I think I might just reserve the body products for isolated moments. But the fragrance itself, I have always liked. Even though I very much so recognize that this isn't necessarily a Sable scent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like when you wear like this one dress that you thought it was super cute and you bought it and then you're like, is this me? I don't know. So when you wear it, you feel like you're in cosplay.
Yeah.
It's like this. That's what this scent is for me, because it is so unabashedly girly. Not even feminine, just like girly.
Do you think?
I think
it's, I personally, I think it's the opposite. I think it's very feminine, but not girly.
Huh. I think it is feminine and girly.
Mm, okay.
But more girly than feminine.
Hmm.
I think because it's so powdery.
Yeah.
It's like if a Marabou feather duster robe was a scent, mm-hmm. like it would be Good Girl Gone Bad. Okay,
there we are.
Which is funny because I do remember, actually, I don't know if he still does it, but Killian released a scented lingerie collection that was scented with Good Girl Gone Bad.
Oh.
And it was like all these like silk negligees and like see-through stuff.
Hmm.
And then I was like, how do you wash the... Like, when you wash it, does it scent
I've got a few questions about that.
I'm like, is this for the set of people who only dry clean their negligees? Which it might be.
Yeah. Again, rich.
Yes. Again, wealthy things I know nothing of. But yeah, Good Girl Gone Bad, it's like old school glamour in a very light way. It's not heavy. It's very light. It's very powdery. It's very sweet.
Do you think?
I think it's quite sweet. But like,
to me, this is a capital P perfume.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a parfum.
Uh-huh. I don't want to say it smells old, but it smells timeless.
You
know?
I see that. It's definitely like, when I think of like performing feminine, this is like performing femininity in a bottle.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that's what I think of. I mean, also the name is called Good Girl Gone Bad.
Also that.
It doesn't strike me as like a particularly edgy fragrance.
No, not
like,
at all.
But it, to me, I'm just like, no, it's just like Good Girl Gone Good.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's just good girl.
Yeah, it's just good girl. Could have stopped there. But... yeah, it's very perfumey, like in a traditional sense, very feminine, and kind of like frivolous And like, I don't mean that in a dismissive way. I mean that in a fun way. Mm. It doesn't take itself too seriously, I don't think. Or at least I don't take myself very seriously when I wear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it's so like, I'm a girl and I'm wearing tulle probably. Oh, this fancy feather thing. Or like the shoes with the little feather boas, the feather poofs on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only say this to say that I feel like we talk about so many things that we're obsessed with on the show that I feel like sometimes it just sounds like me personally, like I like everything I've ever smelled, which is very much not the case. I just don't wear shit I don't like things.
You like either love things or you hate things. You don't have a neutral feeling
across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a neutral feeling in my body about anything. Yeah. this is just obviously not for me. It's very floral. The minute I put it on, I was like, God damn it.
It's very powdery floral. Yeah,
it's not bad. It's a lovely scent.
Yeah.
I just, they sent it. I was really excited. Then I sprayed it and I was like, just kidding. Not for me. But then again, this is actually the only Killian scent that I've ever really felt that way about. I love
you
Killian
do. Scents. Yeah. This is like the scent I would wear to go hunting for a sugar daddy.
Mm.
Absolutely. Cause it's youthful.
Yep. Do you think?
I think it's youthful.
Okay.
I think it's what a little girl thinks is grown up.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That when you like put on your mom's high heels and the ends are like sticking all the way back.
Right.
There's a huge gap at the heel because you're so small.
Yeah.
It's like that. Which is exactly the type of crowd that sugar daddies go for.
Yep.
So.
Yep, you're right.
Let's see. We may have a hot girl summer yet. Boat girl summer might be for me.
SS, smell you later. We are so excited about today.
Yes.
A few weeks back, we were talking about the new scent, Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper by Kayali.
SDPP.
SDPP. And today, the creator of Kayali Fragrances, Mona Gatan, is here to talk to us about everything Kayali.
Yes.
To give you a quick rundown, if you are familiar, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Mona Gatan is the global president of Huda Beauty, an incredibly large global beauty brand that we both really heavily fuck with.
We do.
I've always really liked
their... I love their little eyeshadow palettes.
I did too. Their palettes bang. Their liquid eyeshadows bang. Mm-hmm.
The liquid lipsticks.
Liquid lipsticks are so good. Mm-hmm. Their palettes are really good.
They are. Yeah, like, legitimately good.
I mean, yeah, legitimately good. And also, they were not the first, but they were very unafraid to play with actual color in their color cosmetics before color really popped off.
Yeah. And they made them wearable. Like the formulas always performed, which I think was like equally, if not more important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we could do an entire podcast about Huda Beauty, but that's not what we're doing today. Mona Gatan started Kayali after Huda, and
she's always been perfume obsessed.
Yes.
Like she always talked about perfume on her social media. Her thing was talking about perfume and fragrance, like on her Instagram and YouTubes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it just seemed natural that she would launch a fragrance brand.
Totally. Sable was more familiar with Kayali before I was, and I will do anything Sable says. So I called in the core collection, and I was really not let down at all. And of course, we love STPP, so we are very excited to talk to Mona about all things Kayali, the core collection, the new scent, and
her brand new scent coming out.
Yeah, a new scent, an upcoming scent. It's a Smell You Later exclusive for you.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's our first exclusive.
I know.
I just realized that right now.
I know. Wow. We love it.
We're moving up. It only took us like 40 episodes.
You know, it's fine.
We're moving up in the world, guys. But you guys probably, like, I feel like anybody who's beauty obsessed, like, obviously knows who the Gatan sisters are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So obviously we're like, this is legit for us.
I'm so excited.
Like a good get.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're pumped. She's calling in from Dubai also.
Yes, the time difference is, I believe, 8 hours. We're very grateful that she made the time for us. So, yes, she's in the future.
Hell yeah. So, before we make her wait any longer, let's get to it.
I'm Mona Gatan. I am the co-founder of Huda Beauty and the founder of Kayali Fragrances, and also the global president of Huda Beauty. I am a fragrance lover, a wellness lover, and a therapy lover. And I'm so excited to be on with you guys today.
We are so excited to have you.
I love that you said therapy lover. I'm like, you too.
It's very much needed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in this past, past year and a half. Yeah, definitely.
Totally.
My therapist kicked me out.
Oh, no.
It was right before the pandemic started, and I had been seeing her for like 8 months, and she was like, "Tiny, you don't need this anymore." And I'm like, "Are you sure?" Because I don't think we've covered everything. But
well, if you need a good therapist, let me know. I have my Rolodex.
Perfect. That's good to know.
Yeah. Mona, we would like to start out. We ask all of our guests very recently, what do you smell like today?
Oh my gosh, today is really funny. So I have literally been in my basement spraying like between 40 and 50 fragrances today. So I smell like a mad, like fragrance scientist right now. Like literally there's everything. We kind of focused on like the woodier notes. So I smell like wood and saffron and spice and like, yeah, lots of like Middle Eastern notes.
Love that.
Oh my God, that is my dream to have like a lab in my basement for fragrance making.
were you testing samples of new scents for Kali?
We were testing samples as well as just smelling like industry benchmarks just to make sure they don't smell too similar, because that's like my biggest fear in life is launching something that people feel smell familiar, like too familiar. I think you can't not let it smell a little bit familiar, but when it's too familiar, that's like, I would die.
Right.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah.
What does your fragrance collection at home look like? I see it just like as a big library of fragrances, not unlike ours actually, but
yeah.
It's really organized now. I just finished a renovation. So before, when we were in the offices, like pre-COVID, I had all my perfumes in the office and they weren't super organized, but after moving them into my house, like I went through a period where I was like, I really need to organize this chaos. So now it's like really properly displayed. It's alphabetical. It's really beautiful. I'll send you guys pictures.
Oh, please.
Oh, we would love that. Yes.
Yeah. I've spent like 3 months on it, to be honest. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I wish you guys could come here. Like, I wish I could transport you over here and like have fun with you guys in the basement. I think we'd be there forever.
God, I'm also trying to finagle how to organize all of my fragrances. And I'm like, maybe I should get like a little armoire or a little closet for them. But I know once that happens, it's over and my entire apartment will be taken over by fragrances.
Right. Oh, right. For sure. Yeah. My basement used to be my gym and like my shooting area and like so many things. And now it's just like, it's all fragrances. It's taken over everything. Like, I'm going to have to find, now I'm just trying to find room for my gym equipment. It's in my living room. So it looks really weird, but it's worth it.
I'd rather have all those fragrances than a gym though. So
absolutely.
Totally. Mona, can you tell us a little bit about how Kali got started?
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, like my entire life, I've been obsessed with fragrances, like ever since I was a teenager, and I just remember being obsessed with the sense of smell. So like, I used to love the smell of food, the smell of, you know, drinks, coffee, just everything. Like it just really like, it was the one sense that I enjoyed the most, like even more than visual sense, like more than looking at art or anything. It was just the sense of smell really took me away. And I think it comes from just being a very sensitive, like emotional person. And then when I moved to Dubai, I was 17 years old, and that's where my love for fragrances just like really catapulted, because fragrance is a huge part of the culture here. It's like in every part of everyone's rituals when it comes to like starting their day, celebrating life, celebrating holidays. You know, every period of every moment is celebrated with fragrance. So it really did inspire me. And, after getting into just entrepreneurship and really when I first became self-employed, that was when I was like, you know what, one day if I can make this happen, it would be my absolute dream. And to me, it was the one product or business that I was the most passionate about, you know, even more than color cosmetics and everything else. Like I've had a beauty salon, I've had many, I was kind of like a serial entrepreneur before, and like nothing made me feel more excited than, you know, creating a fragrance brand. And I think it just comes from like giving people something to remember their memories. You know, it's just, I think it's so special. Like for me, my fragrances are they're my treasure. Like I absolutely like, you know, I love them so much, and they're a part of my like history. Like when I think back and I look at my times, like my fragrances are like bookmarks in my life.
That's such a good way to put it. Like remember your memories. Wow. I totally get that, but I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Shit. Like every time I want to go and like remember a specific time frame, I'm like, I go downstairs and I smell like what I was wearing then. And it just like takes you back so fast. And it's just, it's kind of scary a bit, but it's just it's like magic. It's a magic potion in a bottle.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
It's so funny how you said that you're like, maybe it's because I'm a sensitive person that scent is so important to you. And when I was growing up too, like I was a super sensitive kid. I was definitely like the class crybaby. And I've always been obsessed with scents.
I think there's like definitely a correlation, like for sure. Yeah, for sure. Like all my friends who are like highly sensitive, they're like the ones who really are obsessed with fragrance. So I definitely think so.
That's so funny.
Wait, are you a Cancer?
I'm a Taurus.
Also a very sensitive sign. Yep.
Yeah. Are you a Cancer?
I am, yes.
Oh, amazing. I love Cancers.
Yeah. Can you give us a rundown of Huda Beauty and then how Kayali came from it? Because we know that Huda came first. And then, you know, I mean, I feel like you guys are starting a brand a week, which I think is amazing. I love seeing everything you're doing. I want like Huda housewares, Huda bedding.
Oh my God, you're so sweet.
But I think it's really just really exciting to watch you guys grow.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, to be honest, every single brand is like years in the making. Mm-hmm. You know, even like when we first launched Huda Beauty, that was something that took really like, I'd say 3 years to really properly launch. You know, we first started the blog back in 2010. And back then, we actually never really even had the intention to ever launch a brand at the time. It was just like sharing with our community about beauty because, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, but back in the day, it was like, beauty bloggers were kind of like still not very diverse. So for Huda in particular, she felt like, you know, there was not really a community serving like Middle Eastern people and people with like her skin tone, her beauty issues. And she's been obsessed with beauty forever. So she really just wanted to create a place where we could, you know, share that and share her passion. So to be honest, like when we launched our lash line, we never even thought we would. It was just like, we kept getting requests. It was kind of like backwards. Like we were like just fulfilling like the demands of our community. So people were asking for her lashes. And back then when we launched, it was like 2013 when we actually launched, but we were working on it in 2012. There just wasn't that many amazing lash brands at the time. So it really was just giving people what they wanted. So it ended up working really well. And, you know, it's been like a huge journey and lots of ups and downs and crazy moments, but it's been a wild ride. And for Kayali, you know, it was always a dream to launch a perfume brand, but I had worked on it even before launching Huda Beauty, and I kept meeting investors and partners and even other perfume brands. I was like trying to get them to launch a sub brand with me. And I've just always been obsessed with the idea, but it never worked out. Thankfully, like I'm so happy it didn't then. And then in 2018, it was after we got our investors. That's when we really had a little bit more resources to really just think about launching another brand. So that's when we decided we were going to launch Kayali, and everything started to come together slowly. But even after launching, to be honest, it's been a really interesting journey for me. And it definitely hasn't been smooth sailing. Like it's so new and new territories. And even though I've been obsessed with perfume forever, I definitely, you know, wouldn't consider myself an expert yet. Like I'm learning every single day and I'm trying to get there. But it's been very interesting, but very rewarding for myself. Like this has been the most exciting product and brand we've launched today for me.
So cool.
Yeah. I feel like so many beauty brands that are launched by individuals, it's like, you know, you only, as a consumer, you only get to see the result and the polished, finished product. And you never really know about all of the ups and downs and like the years and years of development that go into it. And for something like a fragrance brand, I feel like a lot of people either are just like, they go to a fragrance house and they just say like, I want a vanilla scent, or I want, you know, like a floral scent, and then it magically appears. Yeah. But you really like bootstrapped Kayali from your head.
I still am, to be honest. Like even though we're a part of, you know, we're under Huda Beauty, it still is a baby brand and I still have to be super scrappy. I have to like really be careful with the cost and everything that I'm doing. I mean, I've actually like hired my own team on the side to help me create content because it's still like a baby brand. So I still have to really build it up. But It's been so interesting. And like you said, you know, you can go to perfume houses and just ask them to create your perfume, but I don't really see those kind of perfumes taking off, like unless you're really creating something that has a lot of passion and a lot of inspiration behind it and you're able to really tell a story. I think only then it'll be really successful. Or if you have like crazy budgets where you can just hire like a famous actress, maybe yeah. that works too, but I don't. So I really have to make sure that it's coming out of a place of, you know, real passion and yeah. something that's different.
So do you work with perfumers or are you calling the shots with all of the notes?
We work with Fiore Maniche and they are amazing, but I guide them and like the inspiration right. comes from me and original, like from the very beginning, it's usually me briefing them of like a few key ingredients or even just like a mood that I want to create. And I give them like a whole list of ingredient ideas and then they'll come back to me with like different submissions and a few different directions that we can go through. And then sometimes they'll brief it to many noses and they'll come back with lots of submissions. So it's a lot of different juices that we smell before we get to the final result. So it can get really crazy.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like that sounds really fun, actually.
It's so much fun, yeah. but also like it's a lot and you run out of like skin. Like I think my biggest challenge is not having skin. I need to borrow you guys. Please come here.
Please. Yeah, we need more wrists and elbows here.
Totally. I'm like, I need to spray my legs, but I'm not flexible enough to smell it.
I have tried doing that for sure. Like I've sprayed my ankle and then I'm like, wait, I can't get my nose down that far.
I know, same here. It's such a struggle.
Where did the name Kayali come from?
So Kayali means my imagination in Arabic. And I forgot to mention, but like Kayali for me is really like a marriage of my Middle Eastern roots with like my Western culture because I grew up in the States, but I am Middle Eastern by heritage. So I wanted to sprinkle in like different elements of that in the brand. So that's where the name comes from. And I feel like fragrance and imagination is so like, it's so connected. And I feel like to create a fragrance, you need to use your imagination, but also when you spray fragrances, it really does take you away. And I love like the creative aspect of fragrance. So that was where the name came from.
That's so cool.
I love that. It's a beautiful word too.
It
I
is.
Love
oh, thank
it.
You.
Yeah. I'm always curious what fragrance culture is like in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And like you saying you grew up in the States, were you aware that fragrance was a much bigger deal in the Middle East? Or was it only until you moved there that you were like, whoa, this is huge?
I knew there was like elements of fragrance and like the rituals like in Middle mm-hmm. Eastern culture, but like I had no idea it was this crazy until I moved to Dubai. Like Dubai, have you guys been here before?
No.
Okay. You guys have to come here.
I
after.
Would love to come.
You have to. Must. Like, we have to make this happen. Like, I'm going to figure out a way because you have to come here. It's like a perfume lover's playground. Like, yes. there's so many. Yeah. You guys are going to flip out.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. Like, every corner, every, like, area in Dubai, whether it's, like, the high-end luxury shops or, like, the super, like, cool street, like, souk market shops. Like, there's just so many different types of fragrances. And there's like the oils that are just in like really, you know, kind of authentic like bottles and like these old school perfumers that have been there in the souks for like decades, making people their fragrances for their house. It's so raw. And then you have the luxury brands too, of course, which is really nice, but I really love like the whole market side of the fragrance industry here. And it's definitely something very special. And, you know, there's just different types of elements. Like, I'm not sure if you guys have tried like bahor. It's like where you burn like the oud wood.
No. Oh, no, but I've heard of it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to send you guys some because you have to experience it. It's like, do you guys like oud?
I yes. love oud. Yes.
Okay. You guys are going to love bahor. It's really like, it's so different and it like fills up your room and people use it to just make their house smell good when they have guests over, like before meals, after meals, they start their day with it. They put it on their clothing, they put it on their hair. Like it's just such a big part of the culture. And I really fell in love with that when I moved here, but also just the hospitality, you know, when you go to someone's house here, like they greet you with like a tray of fragrances. And a lot of times they're like, original fragrances that they've created for their own home.
Wow.
So it's just, it's so special. It's almost like a part of your identity. Like if you've gone to someone's house and you've sprayed their home fragrances and you go to someone else, like they'll smell like that person's like family fragrance on you. And it's like, they let you leave their mark with you everywhere you go. And I found it so, so inspiring.
That is so cool. Yeah, it's like, cool. It's almost like a tartan or like a coat of armor, but it's like your own house fragrance. That's so cool.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about how those sort of, I guess you just sort of opened the door for this, but how the scent and perfume culture in the Middle East and Dubai is different than the States right now?
I would say it's different in many ways. I definitely think it's more sophisticated where people, they're just really obsessed. They know a lot more about their fragrances. They know a lot more about notes. I mean, you guys are like frag heads and you're experts. Yeah. You know, like you guys would probably fit in super well here and probably be even on the higher end level of being more experienced compared to normal people. But if you take the average population here, like people know about fragrance and they know like the different like notes as well. They're not afraid of layering. In fact, it's like, it's almost weird if you don't layer your fragrances. It's like, it's just part of the culture as well. Like people have always layered their fragrances. And they're, what's interesting is like, you know, nowadays, I love that people aren't really like putting a gender on certain fragrances, but in this part of the world, it's never been that way. Like I remember when I moved here back in 2002, like all the guys I was talking to and dating, like they were wearing girls' fragrances and I loved it. I was like, yes, like this is so cool that people just didn't have boundaries. And it inspired me to like be more open. And like when I had moved here originally, it was kind of strange, you know, like people didn't really layer back home in the US and they didn't really like go outside of the box when it came to experimenting with like men's fragrances and women's fragrances. So that really did inspire me just to think of, you know, not having rules and just have fun with it.
I always thought that was interesting that Kayali launched with four scents that were meant to be layered and played with.
Yeah.
And then I wondered, I was like, oh, maybe that's part of the heritage of the brand is the customize or the individuality of fragrance in that regard.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, because I find that your core collection is pretty complex on its own and not something that I would think, one, I don't like layering fragrances. So I guess let's start there. But I like them all on their own so much that I wouldn't think to layer them. And I find that when brands, you know, like think of a no disrespect, but like Jo Malone, like a brand that's meant to be layered over here, they're very one or two notes. And Kayali's are very thought through in a way that I really love. So I tend to wear them alone and love them just as much.
Same.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. That makes me so happy. You know, I did create them to layer. And that was why we kept the naming very simple, like vanilla, musk, citrus. And then the idea was the elixir was the base and you start with that and you mix the other ones to kind of create a mood. And it was kind of like the hero of the collection.
That was my favorite one, elixir.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Because it was the most complex and it like stuck around the longest.
Vanilla was my favorite.
Really? I love vanilla too. And you know, it's funny, like that was the intention when we did launch collection one, but it didn't end up taking off exactly as I planned. And you know, these things happen when you launch a product or a brand. It's like, you never know how people will you know, end up using them. So now we're kind of just, I don't know. I don't know if people are ready to like get a full collection of fragrances and then try layering on their own, to be honest. Maybe one day, but we're kind of going the route of just launching individual fragrances and teaching people what we think would be nice to layer, but like not making people feel pressured that they need to. I think people are not completely ready.
I think the concept of layering fragrance, to most people's knowledge, they think of like perfume oils or roll-ons you know, like something a bit more mass market. And Kayali is like much more luxury.
Thank you.
So your latest launch, Sweet, I'm going to get the name wrong. I'm so sorry. Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper. Is that right?
Yes. I think I got it. Yes. You got it right.
Yes. Am I right in repeating what you just said? It's more complex and maybe not meant to be layered, but it's sort of a more you know, complex.
It's fragrance its own on bouquet. Its own.
Can we talk yeah. about that scent, Mona? It is so good. We are both obsessed with it.
Yes. Aww,
I'm so happy. I actually listened to your full podcast when you guys were speaking about it, and you guys made me cry so many times. I was like over the moon. Thank you so much. Like, it really was a very special juice. It is a special juice. And for me, I do feel like Sweet Diamond was kind of like the new rebirth of Kaylee. Because like, even for myself as a founder, I feel like I've evolved a lot, especially over the past year and a half. And I feel like I'm really getting a lot more comfortable with like just opening up my creativity and expressing myself more. I think it's from the therapy, but I feel like I'm finally in a place where I'm more comfortable like being who I want to be. And this was like the first rebirth of Kaylee. So we have many more on the way, but this was like, for me, Kaylee 2.0.
I love it. I mean, we smell yeah. a lot of shit, you know, in our daily lives because of the show and our careers and whatever. But yeah. that is truly, I don't know, man. It's just,
memorable. It's yeah. unique. Oh,
it smells you. Like yeah. tired tread and pink sugar in a way that I'm yeah. obsessed with. It's so like both sides of the same coin. It's so sweet, but it's so dark. Oh, mm-hmm. I love it. I was on a Zoom meeting yesterday with my camera off, and I was just sitting on my couch smelling it.
Really? Oh my God, you're making me cry again. Thank you. No, I'm so happy you guys love it. And yeah, it was really important for me to really create something that was very complex, very memorable, and to really push the boundaries and go a bit further than I normally would. Like, it is a bit intense, and I know some people feel it's maybe a bit too strong, but I want something that's going to be impressionable. And I know it's challenging because like, if you go kind of like the niche route of creating something unique, it doesn't necessarily do as well, but I just feel like I can't create something that's been smelt before. So yeah. I just kept pushing with our amazing nose, Gabby, to create something special. And I think the final touch was like when we added the saffron, and then it was like, oh my God, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What drew you to pink pepper?
So pink pepper was really interesting because I was actually in Grasse with Fear Manish back in mid-2018. And we did a nice session because at the time we were filming a reality show. So they wanted to like talk about different notes on camera and everything. And I remember they talked about a lot of notes, but when they talked about pink pepper and just kind of like describing the emotion that is created when you smell pink pepper, they were like, this is like the note of love and romance, and like it just instantly will make you feel like, you know, like you're falling in love. And I was like, oh my gosh, as a hopeless romantic, I like had heart eyes and I got super excited. I was like, we need to create a fragrance around this. Like, I am obsessed with love. I'm obsessed with making people feel good. And I feel like, you know, what other emotion makes you feel better than like when you fall in love? So that's where the inspiration first started. And we tried, I think, hundreds of different fragrance, like different submissions, because we had many different routes to take with the pink pepper juices. But in the end, I just felt like this one was the most unique and the most different.
I'm always drawn to peppery scents. I also have a theory that pepper notes in general are going to be like the thing in the next few years. I've been noticing like a lot of like chic luxury fragrance brands releasing peppery fragrances, Kaylee included. And then I was like, you know what? This is definitely going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they're onto something.
I agree. And like when we were launching Sweet Diamond, like a lot of the retailers were really nervous. They're like, you know, pink pepper is very polarizing. Like, a lot of people are probably not even going to buy it because it's called pink pepper. And I was like, you know what, we have to try. And, you know, we'll try to do as much storytelling as we can. And thank God, you're so right. There's been a lot of launches around pink pepper recently. And I'm like, every time I see a new launch, I'm like, yes, like, you know, like it's going to be loved. I'm sure, like, you know, eventually people will get more comfortable with it. But I love pink pepper. Like when I smell fragrances that I'm just obsessed with, I always like go to Fragrantica and I'm like, oop, pepper, pink pepper or pepper, like, spice. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. How is launching a fragrance different than launching anything from Huda Beauty or any of your color or cosmetics or skincare? Because I love the campaign for pink pepper, of course, because it's bright pink.
Oh my God, but thank you.
But you know, when you're working with something like a fragrance that you can't see other than the bottle, how do you roll that out in, you know, the 2021 beauty landscape where it's, as we say, just shit on shit, you know, there's, you know, you can't show fragrance on a face or right. on a body. Yeah. How is that different? How do you bring that to life?
Oh my God. It's honestly so hard. And I didn't know how hard it was going to be honest, when we first launched. And it was funny because like when we first launched the brand, we were just thinking, okay, well, you know, we'll share everything kind of the way we do with Huda Beauty and it will take off. And we expected all these things just to work the way they normally do. Mm-hmm. But they didn't at all. And we're like, oh crap, you can't do before and afters with fragrance. Right, like, right, oh my God. Yeah. Typical launch strategy is like, okay, swatches, looks, et cetera. And like, mm-hmm. and I think we didn't even realize like how challenging it would be to like really paint a picture and like share like the story behind everything. So, you know, now it's really like become something where I've kind of had to tap into my own emotions and my own expressiveness and just try to really paint like the mood that I feel when I spray a certain fragrance. And I know it's going to still be very different to everybody else, but if I can at least share what mood I feel through each fragrance, I hope people can kind of relate to it. And I know it's never like, I'm sure everybody has a different experience with every scent, but I think painting the picture really does help. And the first time we've really properly done it was with Sweet Diamond. So I think it's definitely given people a little bit better of an understanding of the vibe it will create. And I hope it does create that, but you just never know.
I think it's really interesting that you're not afraid to say, oh, this didn't go the way we planned, or this didn't work the way that we thought it would. How do you, when something doesn't, you know, go as planned and you are the head of a couple major brands, how do you address that? And how do you like move on going forward?
I'm like taking a deep breath because I'm like thinking of all the times things don't go as planned. To be honest, they never go as planned. Yeah. Like, of course, there's like times where they go better than other times, but I've just come to realize like things will never go exactly the way you plan it, and you just have to constantly have like a plan B. And even if you don't, you just have to quickly think of one, and you just have to really make the best out of the situation. Like, honestly speaking, like I feel like the one thing that really makes somebody have like the tenacity to create a brand and stick to it is just being able to make good of a not so great situation. So having that positive mindset to really pivot. But yeah, nothing ever goes as planned. I know people, like you mentioned earlier, like people see the brand and they think, okay, this is, it was so easy. Like it's a roller coaster almost every day. Like we get bad news, good news, like, you know, something happens with a supplier, something happens with, you know, forecast or, you know, whatever. It's just nothing ever works the way you think it will. And you just have to like embrace that and get therapy.
Yeah.
Lots of it.
So we've talked a lot about your most recent launch, mm-hmm. Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper, but we hear that you have something new coming down the pipeline that you would like to share with us. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh my God. Yes. I'm so excited and I cannot wait. You guys don't have it yet, right?
Oh no, we have
We have it.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I think it's my favorite Kaoli scent yet.
Stop it. Really? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God.
We were just talking. Oh, we were like spraying it in my apartment right before we hopped on the Zoom.
Okay. I'm so happy to hear that. I was kind of nervous for you guys to smell it because I know it's quite different from Sweet Diamond. It's a little bit more like soft and woody, and I don't find it as complex, but for me, like Utopia is really about creating a dreamland, and for me it's like it's a version of like my Utopia, which is like a really nice beautiful summer holiday. And you know, I finalized this juice during the midst of lockdown in May 2020. Like we were working on it before, but it was never like, I still had a lot of finishing touches to add to it. And during lockdown, I was like, oh, you know, I was just dying to like be on an island, like with a coconut and just go on like holiday. Cause in Dubai, it was pretty intense. We couldn't even leave our house without a permit. So it was just it felt like we were trapped. And I was like, I need to escape through fragrance. And that's where like the final name came as well, like Utopia, like creating this you know, dream like paradise through scent. And
I love the name.
I do too.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
It sounds like a really cool tropical sci-fi novel. That's why I love it.
You're right. It does.
is the full name Utopia Vanilla Coco? Is that right?
Yes. Oof. Yeah, Vanilla Coco 21. And it was really inspired by my favorite holidays. Like for me, I know everybody has like their different dream vacation, but for me, like my dream holiday is always like when I'm on the beach, I've got coconut oil in my hair, on my body, and like I smell like vanilla, lemons, and like things that just make me happy. And yeah, I love summer holidays. So that was like my version of Utopia and where I wanted to be. Like, I still want to be there right now. It was like all of 2020, but even now I'm like, I wish I could just go on a like an island holiday, but
I'm the same way. It's not a vacation unless I'm near a body of water.
Right.
Yes. And like you have a coconut in your hand and you're drinking like a nice drink and like
yes, wearing as little clothes as possible.
Yes.
Can you tell us like what we've both smelled the scent, but yes, from the creator, can you tell us about like the build of the scent or what the scent smells like? So we've got vanilla, we've got coconut, like what else is going on?
Yeah. What was the brief?
Yes.
So initially we started just with creating a floral woody scent, and I wanted to have coconut as well. Like it was always like a coconut sandalwood scent originally. That's what we started with. But then we kept adding in like more white flowers. We had jasmine, gardenia, tuberose, which are some of my favorite white florals, which we have a lot in our Deja Vu white flower. Have you guys tried that one before?
I don't think I have.
I don't think so either.
Oh my gosh. We have to send you the full collection. Okay. As soon as we're done with this call, we're going to send you everything. It's funny because we actually have a lot of similar notes from Deja Vu white flower and Utopia, but it smells very different to me. Like I feel they're extremely different. And then when we kept going, we started adding more of the top notes. So we have honeysuckle, we have pear, and we have Italian lemon. And for me, like my two favorite holidays was, one was in Capri. And I just remember these beautiful lemon trees and that smell just being everywhere I went. And it just reminds me of like a beautiful summer dream. And then the second holiday that I loved so much was in the Seychelles. And that was where like the coconut inspiration came from, because there was coconuts everywhere we went. And I had to like go hard on vanilla, of course, because I just, every time I'm on a beachy holiday, I like use like vanilla scented like tanning products and oils and coconut scented tanning products. So it just really reminded me of being on vacation. And then on the base, we have sandalwood, we have patchouli, we have the coconut milk, the vanilla bourbon, and musk is always with Kaylee. We go pretty hard with our musk. So yeah, that's the, I think I mentioned everything.
Yeah.
And we have amberette as well on the heart.
It's so good. It's just so, so good. Summery. And
I was telling Tynan before we recorded, it smells like when people try to recreate the smell of sunscreen, but like in a really elevated, it's like if someone was like, I like the smell of like classic sunscreen, but make it fancy. Mm-hmm. It's like that.
That's so funny, because that was part of like, in what was in my head. I was like, that the tanning products that yes. I wear, like I really wanted to recreate that. Cause like for me, the smell of tanning oil just makes me so happy. Like even Same. If I'm not going on vacation, I'm like, I'll just put it on in my bathroom.
Yeah.
To like make me think I am.
Totally. Yeah. But then it's like, do people really want to wear straight up tanning oil as a fragrance? Mm-hmm. Like maybe not. So adding in all this other stuff to make it a fancy perfume is like, yes.
Oh, thank you so much. I was actually really nervous for you guys to smell it. Cause you guys are just, you're a little bit intimidating.
No,
I can't imagine anyone being nervous about anything that we think or say. Are you kidding me? We're idiots.
You guys are like, you guys are fragrance connoisseurs, and like, I know you smell everything. So yeah, I was really nervous for you to smell, but I'm so happy you guys both like it.
Oh my goodness. We'll never be nervous.
Yeah.
It was an immediate like, yes for me. It was like, really? Oh, I'm so happy. I mean, like, I'm so happy it's coming out in the summer. Like,
yes,
it's all hitting at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like kind of coincidental. Like we had so many delays, and I'm like, you know what? Every delay happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect timing. And it was finalized in the summer, and now we're launching it in the summer. So I think it's perfect. But yeah, I really want people, especially people who still can't travel, to just try and use it to escape through fragrance. Like, I'm still not traveling, but I spray myself every day and I'm like on a beach somewhere.
Right.
I'm wondering.
It also layers really well with Sweet Diamond, by the way, if you guys want to try it.
Really well. I will try that. Yeah.
I'm wondering, would Kaylee ever expand into like fragrance body products? Because I can see like,
hell yeah,
y'all like, I mean,
that's the way to layer.
Exactly. Well, right. Exactly. Like with the layering concept and everything, yeah. Would Kaylee ever do anything other than fine fragrance?
I would love to be honest. Like, I have so many dreams and I have them all in like my notes and like ideas, and I'm trying, like we are working on a few different things for body, but nothing's like solid yet. It's just the challenge is we're still like a baby brand. So like it's not easy to sell body, especially with retailers, like they, especially before COVID, like I think now they're a little bit more open-minded to like even launching room products and, you know, home fragrance. But before they were only focused on EDPs, you know, Eau de Parfums and stuff like that. So it's really challenging to sell those if you're not like super mass.
Yeah.
But from like my own passion, I would love to launch like a full body range, because I do agree with you guys. I think it's so important for layering. Like, you know, for me personally, like I always start with like a beautiful body balm after going in the shower, and that just even helps your fragrance stay on longer. And
totally.
Yeah. And like body oils. I love it. I love massage oils. Like there's so many amazing body products that I would die to create, but you just kind of have to take our time and like do things one step at a time as we grow.
I feel like so many beauty brands in general are launching body category. Mm-hmm. Like in the past year, 2 years alone, I've noticed that. So I'm like, maybe is it just like a thing where like, I don't know, like market or like investors have to like, they just like want to see the numbers. They want to like be assured that like this will be successful before they're like, okay, yes. Like
I definitely feel like there's a lot of pressure to launch a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy and hard to keep up with. But like for the way we've always operated, especially like my sister Hedda and like the whole team, like we're, you know, if it's not original formulas, if it's not completely authentic, like we just don't want to launch it. Mm-hmm. We've never taken like stock product, stock packaging, anything like that. Like everything's very custom. So it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of investment. But I think it's the only way you can really stand out. But that's why it's harder for us to launch things, because we really do put a lot into everything that we do. And if we didn't, it'd be probably a lot easier and we might even make more sales, but I don't think it's long-term, because it's just people know when you're just putting your label on something.
Yeah,
totally.
Social media is very critical. Yeah. I'm sure you know that more than us.
Yeah. And the consumer is very smart too. Like you said, like you can tell like, oh, this is this formula or this came from here. Because
you see everybody launching it. They're all launching the same thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of launching,
yes,
you had just said, I like caught on to the fact that you just said you were developing Utopia Vanilla Cocoa like 13 months ago. And I'm always curious, because I do feel like it's different for a lot of brands. What is the timeline like when you launch a new fragrance? Like, how does that work?
It's interesting. Like, I wouldn't say every single one is at the exact same time frame. And to be very honest with you, I used to be a lot slower than I am now. Like now I feel like I'm getting to a little bit more of a comfortable place where I'm making decisions faster. I'm like knowing what I mean. Like sometimes like you're trying to explain what you're trying to tell the nose, and like, it's almost like you have to learn like a new language and vocabulary, and just like the education part really helps you move faster. But typically it would take about 3 years to launch it. So like when you start development to actually launch, like all the previous launches took about 3 years.
Wow.
Utopia, we started development on the very first submission of that juice back in, I would say, 2019. But it's just the back and forth takes a long time. And being based in Dubai also makes it a little bit more challenging, because it's just like sending samples back and forth is quite intense. But there have been times, and I'll definitely fill you guys in on something later, where like we've created something fast. I can't say too much for Joanne. I'm like, but there was like a one of situation where it was just like, it was, yeah, can't say too much, but it was like, it was different.
Okay.
Okay. Good. All right.
This has been so like amazing having you, honestly.
Aww, it's been such a fun conversation.
You guys are amazing, and I love your passion for fragrance and your passion for everything. You guys are just amazing humans, but especially your passion for fragrance. It's so cool, and it's hard to find people who really appreciate it at the level you guys do. So I really appreciate you guys and what you do. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Not even just fragrance, just like you said, like the sense of smell. Mm-hmm. It's everything. Mm-hmm. The smell of coffee, the smell of grass, just like your whole environment. Yeah. And like, that's what we, like, that's the thing that really gets us. And we're glad that you also are into it.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, again, we speak the same language in every way. So, so great to have you.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you. Same here. Thank you for having me. It's honestly such an honor. And I really hope we get to meet face to face one day very soon.
We're coming over, Mona.
Oh yeah. We're coming to Dubai.
Coming to Dubai.
I will take you guys shopping. We're going to like go fragrance shopping. We'll probably need like a couple of days, but
I mean, sign us up.
Can you imagine us in Dubai?
Dude.
Fragrance shopping?
Dude, we are taking the Huda Beauty private jet to Dubai. You know that thing. You know that thing is solid gold.
Oh, yeah. Do they have a private... I feel like they would have a private jet. You think? Or at least like a charter.
I don't know.
Like a private charter jet.
Although I hear... What is it? The United Emirates?
Emirates.
I hear that plane is bomb.
It has the most luxurious suite, I believe.
I'd happily fly that.
I would also happily fly that. It has a suite that's like a literal cabin. It has a shower and like a big old bed. Yeah.
I mean, shit, I fly coach. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus. Just get me out of here.
Anytime that I've like even been in business class, I'm like, this is so fancy. Oh my God.
Like, don't know the difference between any of those. So like...
I don't... To me, business and first class are like the same.
Yeah.
Kind, right? I don't know. What's the difference?
I'm a woman.
I've never flown first, but I have flown business.
I've only flown business on brand trips.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm not paying for that. No. But yeah, you get the pod, and I'm like, I love my little pod.
The only difference between coach and business for me is that they just get you wasted on those flights.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? That's enough of a difference for me.
I remember taking business class on American Airlines once, and when they serve you food, they give you like actual silverware. Mm-hmm. Like it's like metal knives and forks. And I was like, I thought we weren't allowed to have weapons on this flight.
Right.
Like, what if I was a person of ill intent?
Of course, that's where your mind goes.
I was like, so I can stab people now, right?
Sable's like 25% a villain at all times.
Constantly. They're like, what can I use to cause chaos?
Right, right.
So you won't let me bring in a liquid over 3 ounces, but you're giving me this knife.
You're giving me a steak knife. Well, anyway, we're going to Dubai.
We're going, man.
I will happily take Rob on that. Are you kidding?
Hell yeah.
You're so cool.
Fuck. Just like that side of the world. Like there's so much of the world I haven't seen. And I want to.
Oh my God.
When I want to smell the world.
When she was talking about us coming to Dubai, I wanted to be like, have you seen Sex in the City too? Is it going to be like that, but not problematic?
Wait, does it take place in Dubai?
It takes place in Abu Dhabi. They're not the same place, but it's like aesthetically.
Okay.
It's like the same.
Got it.
Well, I mean, like Sex in the City 2 is canonically problematic. You know what I mean? Like nothing.
Just the fact that it takes place in Abu Dhabi, I was like,
The whole thing just got worse and worse and worse.
I haven't seen either of those movies.
Oh my God. Sex in the City is my favorite. I know I'm like a full-blown gay when I say this, but Sex in the City is my favorite movie. It's the best movie ever made. Like Citizen Kane found dead. It's so good. It's so shiny and it's so just glamorous. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's the point. It's like, I know. Like that's what it's meant to be. I never got to watch the series because I never had HBO when it was airing.
Yeah, same.
I think I was like a little too young to like cotton on to that, but it's all on HBO now, so I was like, well, maybe I'll just see if I can, like, I have a whole fucking quarantine. Yeah. Maybe I'll just watch all of the Sex and the Cities. Yeah. And I watched the first two episodes, and already I was like, this is severely dated.
Oh, it's a mess.
And it came out in 2000? 1999?
Maybe 2000. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it might have been 2000, but, like, something about it just reads, like, really dated.
For sure.
Like, even the way it's shot.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, are we in 1991?
Well, and the first season does that thing where, like, they're still figuring it out. Because they'll have some conventions in the first couple episodes where, like, the characters will break the fourth wall and talk straight to you. Random, like, side characters or just civilians will also, like, do the same thing. And they never kept that going. So it's like they were still sort of, like, getting their sea legs when they were... I say, but, like, some people... This is the only way I can describe it. Some people have comfort food, but I don't because I just eat anything.
Yeah.
But... Sex in the City is like my comfort like content. It is so
I see.
I watch it like once a week.
That's Jumanji for me.
Oh, okay.
The new one, not the Robin Williams one.
The new one?
Scary? The one with The Rock.
Jesus
Christ. It's so charming. It's so funny. It's just like, it just makes you feel really good.
You never cease to amaze me or surprise me.
Jumanji. I watched it on a flight from Miami to New York, and I think the flight was just long enough. They're like kind of long, those movies. They're like 2 hours, a little bit over 2 hours, and the flight ended before the movie ended, and I, as soon as I got home, I like ordered it on like direct TV or whatever the fuck, and I was like, I need to see the end of Jumanji.
I love that.
But it's so good.
There's this woman that Kara and I always joke about in the beginning of Sex and the City, where she's like, she was a smart girl until she fell in love. That has like nothing to do with anything. I just had to get that out. Anyway, Moda Katan, that was awesome.
That was so great. She's so nice.
She's so cool.
I mean, I don't think I had any concrete expectations of like what she would be like, but I was just like, oh wow, she's like really sweet and like super nice and warm and like,
yeah, no,
just definitely. Like a delight to talk to.
Definitely. Yeah. I think she's one of those people that like is exactly who like she says she is.
Yeah. I always expect brand founders and like CEOs to be just like very guarded and like kind of, you know, just have a practiced way they speak about their brand. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, she's very genuine.
Yeah. And sort of like I said, I like that she was like, yeah, and you know, this didn't go as planned, so we had to refigure this out, or we thought it was going to go like this and it didn't. So I mean, like it takes, you can obviously fake it and say it's all gone well, but you know, it's definitely a choice to not. I think that's for especially like a brand founder to say like, no, it's not always what you think.
I
think it's okay. And she's clearly so passionate about scent.
Yeah. I didn't realize like, if it takes 3 years to get a scent to market, like you have to really love that scent.
Because like, not get sick of it too.
Exactly. I have the attention span of a gnat.
Yeah.
So if someone's like, this will take longer than a year, I'm like, well, I'm not going to care about it. Like imagine having to keep this fresh and then to become more excited about it, to promote it. Like when it launches, like so much emotional and mental energy goes into that.
Yeah.
Wild.
I don't know.
What was I doing 3 years ago? I don't even know.
Oh, can we not go into that?
No.
I was bartending and writing and spiraling.
I was spiraling. Mostly just spiraling.
Nothing's changed on that front.
Yeah.
God, I also wanted to like, I have so many like just questions for her about like the beauty industry and the business of beauty and Huda Beauty. But I knew if we like, and just also like
it would spiral
her makeup, you know what I mean? Like, I knew if we were to go into that, into like the glam questions, we would still be recording 4 days later.
I know, truly.
So we spared you from that, dear listener.
Episode 2 with Margarita.
Part 2. I mean, we're for sure gonna have her back on.
Yeah, we would love to. She's always welcome at the Smell You Later house.
we'll record our next episode from Dubai.
Yeah. Oh my god. Right? How cool would that be?
Smell You Later world tour.
Yeah. Now I'm like really hyped on the idea of having like a home fragrance that's all mine.
Yeah.
Like when you come over, you're like, this is the Sable House smell.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
God, what a cool idea. We should do that.
We should do that.
Why doesn't everybody do that? I mean, everyone's house like has a smell, but like it's not necessarily intentional.
Right.
Something to think about.
Something to think about.
The first Smell You Later product, a home scent.
Right. Do y'all want merch?
Yeah. Do you? What's up with that? We were thinking about it. We're talking about it. It's on the back of our minds.
Like and subscribe. Tell us if you want merch.
Yes.
We want to make a. Should we say it? No, we shouldn't.
No.
Okay.
We want to know what your thoughts are. And then we'll tell you if ours match up.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And regardless if they do or do not, we're going to do exactly what we want anyway.
Yes. We're that friend.
Anyway.
Find us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3.
Leave us 5 stars and a little review. We do read them.
Eventually.
Because I know where to find them now. They're always so sweet.
They're always really nice, which is good.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. I feel like whenever I listen to other podcasts and they always say, I feel like it's just like rote now that everyone's just like, you know, leave us a review, leave us 5 stars, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of other podcast hosts I notice will be like, it really helps the podcast. And I'm like, wait, it does? Like, how? I thought it was just to feed our ego.
I think for sponsorships.
Oh.
Anyways, follow me on Instagram. I'm at TinyBuck.
And I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.
Smell you later.